The next reason that God created sex comes out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 through 32. And I'll read you the verse. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." And so it's this strange passage where Paul's talking about becoming man and wife, becoming one. And then it shifts and it says, "But I'm talking about the Christ and the church." So I want to take this a step further, and I think a lot of people think of it as becoming one, marriage, but Christ and the church. But we read in Genesis 2:24, like becoming one, part of that is sex. And so I want to say that sex is this powerful metaphor for Christ and the church, for intimacy with Christ. And so sex helps us understand what intimacy with God looks like. So this kind of feels like a strange concept, but I want to help you understand this. And so let me give you some specific examples. So when I was reading Song of Songs, we were actually studying it as an allegory of God's love for us, I remember thinking, so this is supposed, like, if marriage and sex is supposed to be this allegory of God's love for me, then I'm going to take it to the extreme. Like, so orgasm is supposed to help me understand intimacy with Christ. And I really pondered this and eventually got to this place where orgasm is this amazing place where you're so in tune with your spouse. And you get to this place where you're thinking about nothing else. You're not worried about what you sound like, what you look like. It's just me and my husband face to face, and nothing else exists. And I suddenly realized that this was how God wanted me to worship. To get to this place where I'm worshiping God and nothing else exists. I don't worry about what I look like. I don't worry about what I sound like. I don't worry about what anybody else is doing. It's just me and God meeting face to face. And so I think orgasm helps us understand how God wants us to worship. Let me give you some more examples. I think that in order for us to experience orgasm during sex, we have to get to this place where we let go, where we stop trying to control things, where we trust our body and just let things happen. Isn't it funny that that's what God wants us to do too? To surrender to Him, to stop trying to control everything, to micromanage everything, to just surrender. I think that we talked earlier about how God wants us to come to this place where sex is this place where He makes us back into one, where He unifies us. Whether we're put together or not, sometimes we're broken, sometimes we're tired, but sex becomes this place where we find restoration. And it's not a natural place for a lot of, like, naturally we don't necessarily want to do that. We want to have things put together first. And yet that's what God wants for us. I think the same is true in a relationship with Jesus. Like, a lot of times, if I'm in a bad spot, I don't want to meet with Jesus. I kind of want to have my life put together first. And yet, that's what He wants. He wants me to come broken and weary and tired and to pour myself out to Him. I think that in sex, sometimes we have to prioritize sex, at least on the front end, and be intentional about carving out time to connect. And then when we get in this place where we're connecting on a regular basis, things become easier and easier, and actually we look forward to it more and more. Where hopefully we get to this place where we crave intimacy with our spouse because we're so intimately connected to them that when we have not spent time together, we know it and we miss it. I think the same is true in our relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we have to be intentional on the front end, where we say, you know what, like, I feel like I'm becoming distant from God, and things have gotten in the way, and I got to carve out some time again. And so we become intentional about meeting with Him, about praying, about sitting and listening and then being with Him, about reading His Word. And eventually we get to this place where it's just kind of happening throughout the day, and we feel so connected with Him that if we miss our time with Him, if other things get in the way because we're on vacation or our family's in town and life has gotten busy or we have more stress at work, we suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I miss Him. I think sex has to be this balance of giving and receiving, right? It's not all about serving our spouse. Sometimes the biggest gift that we give is letting our spouse serve us. And so it is this balance of being a servant, but also in a healthy way, being selfish enough to actually share our desires with our spouse. And so I think the same is kind of true in our faith walk, right? We are just called to serve others, but sometimes the hardest thing we do is to let others serve us and to ask for help. I think that sex is it's not supposed to be just about going through the motions or checking it off our to-do list or just getting to the finish line. I think sex is supposed to be this lifetime journey of discovering about each other, about getting to know each other. And when we do, sex gets better and better. I think the same is true of our relationship with God. I mean, God doesn't want us to come to church just to check it off the list. God doesn't want us to pray just to check it off the list. He wants us to bring our heart and our soul and to be there because we want to be there. I think our spouse doesn't want us to just show up. They want us to be there because we want to be there. And then the last thing is sex is, it's our choice whether we show up. Yeah, well, maybe we could go through the motions, but if we really show up, nobody can make us do it. Nobody can guilt us into doing it. It is absolutely our choice on whether we show up for sex and really share ourselves. I think that's the same with our relationship with Christ. God does not force us into giving us Him our heart. It is our free choice to freely choose and to receive. And so there are so many parallels between sex and our relationship with Christ. And I think that sex can help us understand just how intimate Christ wants to be with us. The best of the best of the best times that you connect with your spouse, that is how deeply God wants to know you. But I think that this truth that comes out of Ephesians 5:31-32 can also be useful in learning and deciphering and discerning what is really true about sex. What does God really want for sex? Because I've read a ton of books about sex, both secular and Christian. And there are a lot of things in there that sometimes rub me the wrong way, and I think, I don't think that's true. For instance, I think the world would tell us that marriage and that sex in marriage eventually is just going to get boring because you're with the same person all the time. Well, is that true in my relationship with God? Well, maybe if I'm just going through the motions and checking it off the list. But if I'm on this journey of really getting to know God, doesn't it get better and better and sweeter and sweeter? And so shouldn't the same be true in our sex life? Where if I'm on this journey of really getting to know my spouse, doesn't sex get better and better and sweeter and sweeter? Or this idea that, you know what, wife, it is your duty to fulfill your husband's needs. And even when it's not convenient, even when you really don't feel like it, you need to have sex with your husband. You know, I don't know that that lines up with what God wants. I feel like Jesus talked to the Pharisees all the time about, you know, you follow all the rules and you do what you're supposed to, but you're totally missing it. What I want is your heart. And so isn't the same true in sex, where if we just show up to sex because we feel like it's our duty, that's not really what our spouse wants. What our spouse wants is our heart. This principle applies to just about every truth we've talked about sex, whether it's oneness or knowing or comfort, refreshment. I think it even helps us understand our growth progression. You know, when we first start having sex, I think a lot of it is self-focused. We're worried about whether we're doing things right, whether we're going to have an orgasm, whether we're pleasing our spouse. And I think in our relationship with God, a lot of it's self-focused. God, help me to be this person, help me to do this. And then later on, in our sex life, maybe we become a little more other-focused, more focused on our spouse, of where are they, and what are their needs, and how do I meet them there? And we're listening and we're communicating. I think the same is true in a relationship with God, where we're less focused on us and we're asking God, what do you want for me? God, who do you want me to be? And then I think we get to even a further point along in our growth progression where, you know, when we have sex, we have no agenda. We're not worried about what we're supposed to do. We're not even necessarily worried about what our spouse wants. But we show up fully present, meeting each other, confident enough to express ourselves and our desires and our wishes, and confident enough to let our bodies move like they want to move. And we just go somewhere together. And sometimes it's exciting things, and sometimes it's just being still together and connecting eye to eye, skin to skin, with no words at all. I think the same is true in our relationship with God, where we get to this place where sometimes we don't have to say anything to meet with God. We can just be in the presence of God, just feel the Holy Spirit, be touched by God. And so sex will help us understand intimacy with Christ. But intimacy with Christ will also help us understand the truth about sex.